Forever Our King, that is the theme for today. And the reason I picked that, boys and girls, is because I've seen in the Gospel Project, which they're following, you've been looking at the kings of the Bible, right? And how many remember who this guy is? Who's this? King Saul, King Saul, remember? And he liked to throw spears at this guy. He didn't like his music all the time, so he'd get mad and throw it. But that was King David. Remember, King David was a very gifted warrior and had a man of courage. But he also was one of the greatest musicians in the scriptures. And he's responsible for putting together that whole collection of songs called the Psalms. Now, who's this one? Solomon. Remember what he did? Yeah. So he's a really wise guy, but he was the one who God said could build my temple in Jerusalem. David couldn't build it because he had too much blood on his hands. He had been a man of war, but Solomon got to do it. But these are pretty good kings, but if you study the scriptures, you know that these are the three kings that ruled during the United Kingdom. We have Saul, David, and Solomon. They ruled there for 40 years apiece. And sad thing about Saul is that he did reject God. David was a man after God's own heart, and we know Solomon was a wise guy, and he built a temple, but we also knew he had some problems, and you'll probably get into that if you haven't already. Other kings that came later, there's 39, is that right? 39 kings? These guys, you can see the red guys are the bad kings, and the blue guys were a mixture of good and bad, and the green were good, kings. But there's only one king who rules and lives forever, and we've been singing about him in our worship. Boys and girls, who's that king who rules and lives forever? Who? Jesus. King Jesus, that's right. Exactly, that's who he is. And it all started, the king's story, it began, these three guys went looking for him. You remember who these guys are? Yeah. So we're told in early on in the Gospel of Matthew 2:2, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? This is what the wise men were asking. And they went to even the bad guy King Herod and asked for some directions, right? Well, we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Well, King Jesus is to be worshipped. And that's what those guys of long ago wanted to see. You guys know any living kings right now? There's a queen. There's a queen of England. David. Queen Elizabeth, right? How about this guy in Thailand? Remember the king of Thailand recently died, and now his son is going to step up to the throne and. I'm not quite sure if that's official yet, but it looks like the progress is going there. There's a king of Sweden. Anybody? I want to see the Zirkelbarks aren't here. Gustav, yes. And we've got everybody knows the king of Saudi Arabia, right? You don't know his name? I had to look it up. I can't remember. I knew they had a king, though. Salman, right? To make a long story short, these are great men, but I haven't heard anybody talk about their history, these kings of Thailand, the king of Sweden, or the king of Saudi Arabia. Hey, let's go see where he's going to be born. He's got a star, you know? And we're not going to just go there and ask him for some advice or a loan. We're going to go what? We're going to go worship him. We're going to bring him gifts, expensive gifts. There's never been a king like Jesus, a king to be worshipped. Now, when these guys, these wise men come, they're going to worship God. And you can say, yeah, they spent a lot of time traveling. Okay, they sacrificed some time. But they brought some magnificent gifts. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Now, those aren't two of the things you hear your mom and dad talk about too much. You know, hey, honey, do we still got enough myrrh in the fridge? You know, we don't talk about myrrh or frankincense, but it's very expensive gifts. Money, yeah, that'd be nice. You know, if Dad would give me $10,000 for Christmas, then maybe I could buy that new Xbox I've been waiting for, you know. You know, whatever you want to buy, you know. If somebody be nice to me, I can buy my new Bentley sports car. I asked someone in here already to buy me that. He just laughed at me. But, you know, what do you want? That's a very big gift. So if I want to see, you know, how do you worship God, I would look at your bank account. How much money do you give to God and His Word? So boys and girls, I don't know what kind of people you're going to become, but I hope high up there on your list, you should provide for your family, but high up there on your list is how much money am I going to use for King Jesus? So we put these monies in here, we put monies in these green bags, and those monies aren't for James to use to buy his sports car. No, those monies are for what? For God's business. And so many of your moms and dads, you need to share with your children, you know, how you use money for God. Let them in on the secret, you know. You know, I know you're not supposed to let your left hand and right hand. You don't have to tell other mom and dads how much you give, but let your kids know. Yes, this is how I bring money to God and worship Him. This is how I bring gifts to God and worship Him. So anyway, the thing for us to learn is wise men still seek Christ. This is a great Christmas card. You see they come out all the time, right? So we still seek it. The beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding and knowledge, as Pete was praying in from Proverbs, is what? Is the fear of the Lord, is seeking Him and coming to worship Him. So King Jesus is to be worshipped. Does anybody know who these guys are? Adults, you can help me out on this one. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's supposed to be a fig tree. And there's a guy under the fig tree. No. Actually, it's Jesus has been down hanging around John the Baptist in Judea. And during that time of John baptizing, he told about the one who's going to come after him and that he was there to prepare the way for him. And that is the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world away. And Jesus is baptized. And hanging around and hear this and witness these things were Andrew and Peter. And they started following Jesus then. And they had a friend named Philip. He was from the same city of Bethesda. Well, I think I'm trying to add a tongue twister. But anyway, he's from that city, right? So they knew him. And so Philip knows a guy named Nathaniel. And he goes tell Nathaniel, hey, come on over. You've got to meet who the law and the prophets had talked about, who we've been waiting for, this guy from Nazareth, Jesus. And he said, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, as he begins to learn later on, he'll see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But anyway, to make a long story short, we get this passage. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I have no idea. I can't wait to get to heaven and say, Jesus, what was Nathanael up to under that fig tree? And by the way he's addressed him, I'm pretty sure he was doing some prayer. He was thinking about the Messiah, whatever. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The Son of God, you are the King. Because why? You said, because I just said, I saw you under the fig tree. You believe that? You know what's going to happen? You know what you're going to see, Nathanael? You're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with His angels descending and ascending with Him. But he believed. He believed. And a king is to be believed. He's to be served. He's to be followed. The King of Israel, the Lord Jesus. So King Jesus is to be worshipped, and he's to be served and followed. I can remember when I was 8 and a half years old, and my tradition of that church was at the end of the service, they would play a song and ask, does anyone want to believe in Jesus today? Do you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross, and that today that you can come forward and you say that, I believe Jesus died for me and I'm going to go live with him forever and ever in heaven. If you'll believe that, and there's a guy named Bill Wallace, Pastor Bill. So Pastor Bill's up there preaching this gospel, and he says, come on down, you know, if you believe. And it was like, yeah, this is my Philip. I wasn't under a fig tree. I was sitting in a pew next to my mom and Kelly Russell and Gene Robinson, my mother's friends, who my mother brought to church, and they eventually came to faith. But that day, Jesus got a hold of me. Eight and a half. Well, I wish I could say I was a good little follower of Christ, but it wasn't. Didn't work that way until the age 23, and then things clicked. And then Jesus really became my Lord, my Master, my King. King Jesus is to be worshipped, he's to be served and followed. King Jesus is to be celebrated. And this comes from Matthew 21:5. Now this takes place. Christ is born at his birth. He's recognized as the king. But you don't hear people talking about him as being king. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, some of those things, the Anointed One, these things are talked about, but not the king bit. But not until he comes into Jerusalem, what we call Palm Sunday. And Steve, will you be preaching on Palm Sunday, about Palm Sunday? A little bit, okay. So I'm just going to do a little bit too. It's not trying to preach out. But a lot of people on the Sunday before Easter, that's considered Palm Sunday. Well, say to daughter Zion. Anybody here going to name their daughters Zion? No, that's a pretty good name, right? Say to daughter Zion. What is daughter Zion? What's that? Is it an actual sister, girl? What is it? It's Jerusalem. All right? It's Jerusalem. It's a city. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king. Hong Kong, look, here comes your new CEO, your eternal CEO. You know, here's the president that's going to rule forever and ever. Here's the prime minister that will never change as the hope of your nation forever and ever. You know, here he comes, you know, and he's not coming in a limousine. He's coming on a moped, you know. He's coming on this little donkey. And it's what? It's in accordance to Scripture of Zechariah 9:9. Come see it. Let's all get out. Come. Let's all go to it. Just one cell on the Bible, okay? A lot of people might say, well, how can I believe the Bible is the Word of God, you know? I mean, how do we really know it's true, you know, this stuff you're talking about? How do I know it's true? Okay, well, this is one example. Zechariah, prophet, you can look it up, 9:9. This is hundreds of years before Christ makes the scene. This is one of 300 prophecies which Jesus fulfills that were made hundreds of years before the gospel record. I was reading recently that if you took just 10 of those prophecies, the chance of those 10 prophecies being fulfilled is 1 in 1 trillion. Try to make a prophecy right now about 700 years from now about some guy. Okay? And let's make 300 of them. Well, I don't know what 1 trillion to the 300th power becomes, but that's how trustworthy the scriptures are. And this is just one. Come out and look. Come out and look. But when you're looking, you know, what are you going to do? Oh, here comes Jesus. Here he is on his little one artist depiction of this event. And when he came in, they took palm branches, that's why we call it Palm Sunday, and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel. Okay, kids, let's let off some steam. You see the word shouting? You see that in white? Okay, what did they shout? Hosanna, let's do it. Come on. Oh, come on, they didn't do that. Hosanna! You know, yeah. Pretend you're Natalie Chapel singing, you know? You're not going to, Hosanna. No, you're going to say, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Blessed.
Blessed
is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed
is the
people of Israel.
Hey, now we're getting the atmosphere. Next week, go. What do you call those guys? All blacks? No. Reeboks? What do you call those Aussie guys? What do you call them? Huh? The who? All the Wallabies. That's what we call them. But we know the USA is going to upset everything. Okay. So you're going to have all these people in the city next week excited about what? Rugby. I like sport. You know I like sport. And rugby sevens is something, you know, it's pretty neat. But everybody here in this city is excited about what? The King of Israel comes riding in. And they're singing Hosanna and blessed. By the way, Hong Kong is going to have a special meetings. I think it's like the 30th of November through December the 3rd. And it's a Hong Kong Gospel Festival.org. You can look it up. It's going to be in the Hong Kong Stadium those four or five days. And it's somewhat like if you're around when Billy Graham and his crusade came, it's that kind of a crusade, but it's more an Asian influence. And I think if you can, you know, invite your friends and try to attend it, this is the end of November through December the 3rd at the Hong Kong Stadium. And it's going to be a celebration of Christ and hoping that more people will come to know the Lord. That's a citywide effort. In November of 2018, we as a church, the Evangelical Free Church, are going to rent the Hong Kong Stadium, and on that day have that's November 25th, 2018, we will worship there instead of here. So all of the Evangelical Free Church in Hong Kong are going to gather together. So there are some big things that go on in the city. Has anybody gone to the exhibit at the St. Andrew's regarding the scriptures? It's been going on this week, and it'll go on, I think, next week too. So there are these citywide celebrations that go on, not just rugby. But the most well-attended event in Hong Kong history is not the Rugby Sevens. It is the Billy Graham Crusade. It's unbelievable how many people would go there. And so we're praying that in this November, this Hong Kong Gospel Festival, it will attract a lot of people, and some people come to know Jesus. So we celebrate Jesus. King Jesus is to be worshipped, King Jesus is to be served and followed, King Jesus is to be celebrated. And that's why we come here on Sundays, to sing. We celebrate it. That's why we listen to Christian music at home. That's why we sing with our moms and dads about Christ. He is celebrated, and we shout and make a loud noise. Okay, 1 week after, things change in Jerusalem pretty quick. Jesus has been arrested, and now he's on trial, and he goes through several trials, but this is one with a Roman guy. You remember who this Roman guy is? How about kids? Anybody remember who this guy is? He's like Russ Bramley, our new elder. He's a pilot. Okay, that's Pilate. Okay, Pilate is his name. It's not his occupation. Okay, his name is Pilate, and Pilate spelled differently too. And to make a long story short, Pilate and Jesus are having a discussion about who the king of the Jews is. And Jesus before Pilate, he said, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, hey, are you the king of the Jews? You said so. Jesus replied, yep, you got it. I am. King Jesus answers honest questions. Now, some people ask us questions, they don't have any honesty in those. Now, what he deals with the information is shows me that he doesn't really understand the fullness of who Jesus is. But you got any tough questions out there, boys and girls, moms and dads? I got a few, but I don't keep them in here. I put them on the table. you know. And often they deal with people who haven't believed yet, people who haven't been healed yet. What about my future? Those tough questions, bring and talk to them, Jesus. King Jesus answers honest questions, and he did for Pilate. He said, yeah, I'm the king of the Jews. Now, here's Pilate with Jesus, and he's presenting him to the crowd, and he says, what do you want me to do with this guy? I mean, he's the king of the Jews. What do you want me to do with him? And you know what the crowd says. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with a man you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, you guys want to play the bad guys? I don't like playing the bad guy either, right? But it's like all of us in unison crying out, crucify him! Kill him! He's not our king. We have only one king, and that king is Caesar. Wow. Pilate didn't expect that. So they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they said, and they spit on him. I haven't been spit on in a long while. Have you ever been spit on? Used to, people might do that when we played football. They'd spit on you, but that they kind of wiped that out. If people are a little more, you know, particularly if you're playing soccer and you play football, and if you're playing in professional league, you get spit on, you get sent off, and you'll miss several games for that. So that put an end to it. But people being spit at, mocking you, you're not the king of the Jews, you know. And they spit on him, and they took the staff, and they struck him on the head again and again. They struck him on the head again and again. They struck him on the head again and again. They struck him on the head again and again, again and again, again and again. This is with a stick, striking the King of the Jews, the eternal Lord and Savior, the one we sing about, we worship, the one we serve and follow, the one we celebrate. They're hitting him over and over again on the head with a stick. And here's some of that one artist's depiction, laughing and making fun of King Jesus. Don't have the stick pictured here, but he was hit over the head again and again and again. So Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek, three different languages. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, hey, Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. So whenever you were crucified by the Roman soldiers, your crime was always tacked up on your cross to show this is what you are accused of. And there it is. Those are the three languages, a modern rendition of what it meant. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And they're nailing it to the cross, and then they're going to put Christ underneath. Well, while he's even hanging on the cross, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mock him. Not only did the soldiers mock him, but now the religious leaders of Jerusalem are there, and they say, he saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Come on down. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. We could have all ended right there and boom, bam, Christ is down, right? That's not the way Christ works. He's not a showman. He had to really die because you and I have this bad, bad problem called sin. A love for self and not a love for God and a love for other people. Okay, there they are. The Jewish leaders yelling at Christ, making fun of him, mocking him. You're the king of the Jews? Yeah, you bet. Okay, my king forever, Jesus reigns. You guys agree to that? Okay. Let's see what we're going to do. I worship King Jesus. We've been unpacking this in our study of Hebrews, that worship is more than just what we do together on Sunday. It's more than what we do when we read our Bible and pray at home, when we have our family devotions. It's more than that. It's a life of worship. And we've been unpacking that. But I worship King Jesus. Do you guys worship King Jesus? You need to stretch your legs? Why don't you stand up? If you worship King Jesus, would you stand up? If you don't stand up, you can fake it. Go ahead. Okay. I worship King Jesus, all right? Sit back down. This is going to be really fun, all right? You're going to either hate me after this service or love me, all right? Okay. I serve and follow King Jesus. When I get this job offer, I'll follow King Jesus. Now, some of us don't get job offers. Sometimes we're made redundant, and then we have to follow King Jesus where we go. I really don't know where I'm going to go after DBICC. I really don't yet. But I do know God's called me back to the United States. But where, I just don't know yet. But I'm going to follow Jesus, and he's going to make that clear. But if you follow and serve Jesus, now, how many of you go to school? Everybody go to school? Because mom and dad make you go to school, right? Okay. I hope you're following Jesus, Hey, I never saw Jesus on the D.C. campus. Well, you follow him. You're going to school with him to live for him, to be like him in class. The way you react to your friends, the way you react to those who aren't so friendly, the way you react to your teachers, who might be a little creepy even. I'm following Jesus. Okay. Now, all of you stood up there. Now, you want to stand again? I serve and follow Jesus, King Jesus. Come on. You know? I serve and follow him. All right, sit down. Hey. There's a few up still asleep on the really back row up there. But, okay, the third one is I celebrate King Jesus. I won't make you stand for this one. But how about a big Hosanna? All right, I'm going to give a shout at Rugby Sevens, yeah. But my faith is not built in a game of sport. Football and rugby are kind of fun games here. Can you imagine what we're going to do in heaven? It's going to be a great game, whatever it is. I celebrate King Jesus. I ask King Jesus questions. Now, some of you have been keeping that in. You keep it in. You got to get it out. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to confess to the priest. You don't have to confess to your Bible study leader, your discipleship small group. But you've got to get it out before the Almighty God, who's King of the universe, who made the heavens and the earth, who sent his Son to incarnate and go to the cross and die for me and for you. Talk to him those tough questions. Lastly, I believe King Jesus died for me. Boys and girls, you come with your mom and dad to church. You hear Elizabeth and Roberto, or perhaps Amy or Valerie or some other the leaders and the junior kids. You hear them. But how about you? Do you believe Jesus died for you? Have you told your mom and dad that you really believe that? Would you do that for them? You don't have to come down and tell me. But what I want you to do, if you really believe that, before you go to bed tonight, you tell your mom and dad that you really believe Jesus died for you. If you haven't ever said that, would you tell your mom and dad that tonight? I believe King Jesus died for me. And if you're an older person and it's just starting to, kind of make a little bit sense of Jesus, this King who came to earth and he died for you. So whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, I don't care. It's just say, yes, I believe today. Don't put it off if you're wondering. Jesus died for you. He died for me. What a King. Okay, I like these keep calm things. Where did this keep calm stuff originate? Is Is that a UK thing? Yeah, during the war? Yeah. So keep calm. You belong to Jesus. Okay, kids, many of you are in your dad or mom's lap right now, and you're enjoying that love which you have in your family. And it's really a privilege to be a part of a family of faith, this community, and I can see that. Diego, you can't sit on your mom's lap. You're too big, all right? So, but anyway, what I'm getting, and Jimmy, mine, man, I don't know where you grew up to, but to make a long story short, children, no matter what age you are, my age and up, my age and down, even down to where the Caminata's children, I want you to remember that you are what? A child of the King. This King Jesus, these King stories are okay, you know, they're good Bible stuff and knowledge, but I want you to know you are the child of the King, the Creator, the Savior, the one who you belong to. Your identity is not in whether you're a boy or a girl. Your identity is not in how well you achieve in sports. Your identity is not in how much money you're going to make eventually. Your identity is what? You are a child of the King. So hang on to that. Life will get tougher later on for you, and you'll understand that there's too many unanswered questions, and you need a King to hold on to, a King that you know holds on to you. So keep calm, moms and dads. Keep calm, kids. Why? Because we are all His children. We belong to King Jesus. And the most of all, keep calm because King Jesus is coming back. Now, it's time for us to celebrate the Lord's table. I've taken too much.